Sunday means football. This is Sports Fan Football Sunday. We preview this week's matchups, recap and highlights from all the big college games, plus helping you set your fantasy lineup. It's Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Welcome back inside the Sports Fan Studios for the first time in our brand new year. 2021 is finally here. The dreadful year of 2020 is officially over. Guys, I haven't talked to you since last year. And as I say, guys, it's Jake Racer and Matt Heflin, along with myself, Air Jordan Gothy, sitting in here for another week of Football Sunday. This is week 17 edition, the final week of the regular season. A lot of playoff spots on the line. Some fantasy football championships have wrapped up. Some are still underway. That is the standard in a lot of leagues out there. It's going to be another wild week with so many things that could happen. There's a lot of different matchups that we could potentially see. I believe 35 was the correct numbers. So many different playoff spots on the line in the AFC and the NFC conference. We're going to get to all that good stuff. And it also includes our very own Chicago Bears. You can catch a big game against the Green Bay Packers at home right here on Sports Fan Radio 1330 with Jeff Joniak on the call. I'll get you more information on that coming up in just a little bit. But before we get to all that good stuff, guys, we got fantasy coming up. We have to get to our headlines.
News and notes from around the league.
And the first, I'm going to go back to week 16. Bears defeat the Jacksonville Jaguars 41-17 as the Jaguars, they're the main story here. They were wrap up the 2021 first overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. That was a little tongue twister that didn't need to be a tongue twister. But the Jacksonville Jaguars will have the number one pick, and I can already say I think I have a good idea who they're going to take.
Justin Fields.
No. You'd be close. You're in the same position group at quarterback, but it'd be Trevor Lawrence from Clemson.
Not if you get Urban Meyer.
You know, I would like to see Urban Meyer as the Jacksonville Jaguars coach.
What about
wherever he goes, he wins.
What about Ryan Day?
Urban Meyer. I don't know about that. I don't want to say he's unproven, but he's only been there a couple years. I guess I want to see more consistency at the national stage, I guess.
Also, Urban Meyer basically leaves any sign of slight provocation. So I don't know, him being a Jaguar coach would be the best.
That's true, but at the same time, when there are some good years, which there is a lot in his 10 years at Florida, Utah, and then, of course, Ohio State, those are some pretty nice years. He won a couple of national championships under his resume. Now, again, he hasn't been the NFL level, but compared to who are some of the options right now at the NFL when teams that are looking for a new head coach, I think it's very slim this offseason when it comes to new NFL head coaches. Pretty slim so far.
You can get Jason Garrett from the Giants.
Oh, come on.
I mean, come on. He's got a lot of head coach experience. I think he's a good person to right the ship.
I mean, you never know. Marvin Lewis, code workout.
Oh, come on. You're giving me the two definition of average NFL head coaches.
I heard Hugh Jackson was trying to come back as well.
I'm going to be sick. We're not starting off the new year right. I'm going to be sick at one show into the brand new year. Hugh Jackson, are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, it's either Hugh or Doug Marrone.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but please, Doug Marrone, stay around.
Oh, God. He barely won
Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson or Doug Marrone, are you kidding me? Doug Marrone all day.
Hey, Hugh can only improve. He already had his 0-16. He can only get better from this point on.
Yeah, to what? One win? Maybe four if he's having a good year?
Wow. So what the Jags are used to?
Better than what the Jags have this year?
All right. Where's your AFC South championship belt over there in Indianapolis? I don't see one. I haven't seen one recently. Where's your quarterback of the future? That's right.
I could go to the record for the Colts versus Jags for the past 10 years.
Okay. Well,
quarterback of the future, Jacoby Brissett for the Cowboys. The Colts is a better QB prospect than you've seen in the last 20 years.
In Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Hey, Bortle Combat had a nice few years here.
Yeah.
Blaine Gabbert still in the league.
Yeah. Had that nice performance the other week.
Yeah. For Tampa Bay, he played pretty well against Detroit. Anyways, let's get back to this Bears-Jags game. Okay, now the big story was the Jags wrap up the first overall pick in the 2021 draft, but now some Bears notes. Dave Montgomery, 95 yards on the ground, one touchdown as well, officially surpasses 1,000 rushing yards on the season. Definitely a great accomplishment, not only for Dave Montgomery, but really this Bears offensive line.
Yeah, they've really picked it up, and we talked about them every week now. But it's so good to see these young guys improving week to week. They're just getting better. They're getting more comfortable in their positions, and it's working. David Montgomery has been going off, and the offense just has looked amazing. Was it four consecutive games with 30-plus points?
Yeah, four or five. I thought it was five, but four, you could be correct. 30 or more points, and that's a huge accomplishment, not only just for the Bears, but really an NFL team in general, unless you're the Chiefs who can do it each week with your eyes closed. But, yeah, the Bears are doing that, and they're – I'll tell you what, if there was ever a time you want to play the Packers and possibly beat them, it's right now, where your offense is red hot, which is something we haven't seen in years here in Chicago, and your defense is still up to the task. Now, I wouldn't say they're exactly elite, but they're still a very, very good defense.
The talent is there.
Right.
It's just coaching, though.
Exactly. And putting your guys in the right position just to succeed.
And actually, a fun fact, too. So for the Bears offense, they are currently third in the league in points per game in their last three games, only edged out by Buffalo and Baltimore.
And those are two good offenses over there.
Yeah, so the improvement is top tier in the league right now.
How about that? You know who's really helping, though, in that same scoring points, in that same mode? Cairo Santos. Now setting a new franchise record for 24 straight made field goals, ties a franchise record.
Yeah, his resurgence coming from the Chiefs, when he had a really great rookie year, and then he had the hamstring injury for the couple of years after it, and he couldn't get healthy. But this year, he's healthy. He looks great. You know, as much as I liked Eddie Pinheiro when he came in, I think Cairo's probably the guy looking forward. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm excited to not have to worry about a kick that much.
In Santos, we believe, right?
Oh, absolutely. And when the Bears brought him in 2017 to try and get him going, but then he got hurt yet again. You could tell that they still liked him and why they kept going back to him. And the fact that he's still here at this time just shows how much they believed in him for those years.
They even said back then he would have been the guy that they signed, right, but he got hurt.
I'll tell you what, kicking in Chicago is not an easy task. It's one of the harder cities to really kick field goals and make field goals consistently. That's why it's known as the Windy City. And Robbie Gould did it for many, many years, and he just signed a two-year extension with San Francisco. He's staying put. But Cairo Santos, it looks like he might be the guy going forward.
Yeah, and I would be really disappointed if we didn't re-sign him. Because, tying a franchise record of 24 made field goals, it's pretty insane. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly been one of the brighter spots coming from the season in general.
Right.
And with how much trauma Bears fans have been through with kickers, you got to keep him.
I think another good game by Trubisky. You know, he's limiting his turnovers, but he's controlling the pace of game. I know the Bears got off to a rocky start, let's say that. The Jaguars were tied at 10-10 at one point, but then the Bears just took over. Trubisky and Dave Montgomery and company, Allen Robinson, had a nice game. Returning to Jacksonville for the first time since he left via free agency. A nice game all around by this Bears offense and Bears defense. Just a nice all-around game in general.
I think we have to give hats off to Roquan Smith the most, though. Phenomenal game again, coming from what should have been a Pro Bowl, but I think he's an all-pro type linebacker this year. Me and Matt did have a thought and a tinfoil hat moment where we said, well, Matt Nagy was calling the plays in the first half, and then Bill Lazor was in the second half. It was just night and day.
Yeah, it was almost like for the first quarter, when the offense was making steady paces, it looked like Bill Lazor was calling, but then second quarter, when the Bears offense sputtered out, it looked like it was the plays that Nagy would call, like these dumb drag routes, and you were just punting. But then for the entire second half, when the Bears offense really turned it up, that was when it looked like Bill Lazor took over. So yeah, real tinfoil theory right there, if you will.
I don't blame you. Honestly, I could see that realistically happening, because here's the problem. We brought this up, I believe, 2 weeks ago on the show, where the issue that we're going to have to watch, we're going to have to monitor moving forward is, yes, Bill Lazor is technically calling the plays right now. He has the play sheet, right? But Nagy is still setting up the personnel on each drive, on each play, which to me makes no sense. Why are you having two guys still controlling that? But again, Matt Nagy has his own way of doing things, and therefore he's still controlling that aspect of the game. So in that way, Bill Lazor is still limited in exactly what he can do personnel-wise.
Yeah, I think going forward, this was a little bit more cohesive together joint. I didn't see a lot of dumb Cordell out there, and I didn't see a lot of motion in the backfield to where it was just dumb nonsense. So I think this is getting better, and I did see a lot more Cole, so that was a good sight as well.
And when you get rid of some of that extra commotion in the backfield, you get rid of these nice little cute try to play designs where you like to use Cordell Patterson, who's a great super athlete, but sometimes it just doesn't work. And when you get rid of some of that stuff, look how much this, or how well this offense is gelling now. Since you got rid of some of these fakeries, this isn't Kansas City, this isn't LA, this isn't Baltimore. You can't do that type of stuff here.
Yeah, and honestly, you start seeing that the fact Darnell Mooney is taking
Anthony Miller's job. Yeah. Absolutely, as the number two guy. He solidified himself as that number two guy in Chicago.
Yeah, and just because of his worth ethic, his maturity, the fact that he still consistently comes in to get more knowledge, studies hard, mm-hmm. and does everything, it really shows the difference between him and Anthony Miller. And it's just consistency. I don't think Darnell has dropped the ball yet this year.
Did you guys see that video online that surfaced that he was catching more footballs in the hotel, yep. in the hotel hallway, just to get a little more practice in? That's the type of player he is. That's the type of kid he is. And it's just, he's the type of guy you're going to root for just because he keeps putting in the work day after day after day. And let's be honest, there's stuff that we don't see behind closed doors, but so far we haven't seen that in 3 years from Anthony Miller. That's why Darrell Mooney is the guy right now going forward.
Yeah, and that's true. And when I know we've said a lot about Ryan Pace this year. We've been really unhappy with a lot of decisions he's made. But one thing that stayed true throughout the years is him making late-round draft diamonds he finds. And Darnell mm-hmm. Mooney, that's this guy this year. He's really shown up.
I'll tell you what. All three of us in this room, we have to admit, we were skeptical on Darnell Mooney when they officially drafted him. We have a buddy, a mutual buddy, Logan. He's the guy who pointed him out early on in the draft process that, hey, check out this guy from Tulane. He's a speed guy. This is a guy that you need to watch going forward. I'm a big Darnell Mooney guy. And sure enough, guess what? He went to Chicago, and now he's a legit number two receiver in the Chicago offense. Could be number one next year. Depends on what happens with Allen Robinson in free agency. A couple interesting notes there to watch for the Chicago Bears. Now, we all know this 2020 season, 2021 now, has been a crazy year in the NFL. Just so crazy that we've had four teams now that have played with without entire position groups. We look at the Broncos had a week without quarterback. We look at the Lions. Played a week with just four coaches in total. We look at a couple weeks ago, the Ravens were without majority of their entire backfield, and then the Browns were without their top five receivers, and they end up losing to the Jets anyways. Jets are on the roll right now, but just kind of a weird 2020 season as we wrap things up here, week 17. Jake, this next headline, I'm going to lean towards you here. The Washington football team has officially cut former first-round pick, your buddy, Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, my buddy, more like Matt's buddy. He's trying to do a speed run to be the fastest first round draft quarterback to be cut. He beats out Manziel and he beats out Jamarcus Russell for the fastest quarterback to be cut.
No
so
way.
Far. Yep. Jamarcus Russell was cut on the offseason. Same with Manziel. And, you know, Haskins was cut in the middle of the year. Honestly, it's really disappointing coming from him. I mean, there was a lot of red flags coming out with his maturity, everything else. And there was reports the last week with the coaches coming out and saying that this was all ownership. None of the coaches wanted him because, I mean, he's a one-year starter, didn't really have a lot going for him. Obviously, he didn't test well with the Wonderlic. Interviews weren't well. And just the leadership. I mean, we all saw the first time when he was out there and he wasn't there for taking the knee in the first game he won.
With his first career win, yeah.
He was off on the sidelines taking selfies with people. You know, that's fine, fun, and all dandy, but it's just one of those small things that, all right, well, professional athlete, and it's your job, but you're having fun at the same time, I understand. Mm-hmm. But now it's clubbing with no masks during the pandemic. It's not showing up to media when it's binding in your contract.
Consistently showing up to practice late, too.
Yep. And consistently showing up to studies late, mm-hmm. not being on time, and not listening to when your veterans tell you what to do. There's a clip out there of Thomas Davis this year in training camp where he's telling Dwayne Haskins, hey, man, I see you staring down the tight end. You got to quit doing that. This is Thomas Davis. This man has played 16, 17 years in the NFL as one of the better linebackers, and he's trying to help out his new mm-hmm. rookie quarterback. And Dwayne just sit there. Literally, all he says is, what do you mean? What you mean? And it's just, it's one of those things that it's just standout. And honestly, just watching Thomas Davis react to that, his body language, you could tell that they already knew that Dwayne was going to be bad.
Right, and that was the first example I was going to bring up was Thomas Davis, who this is his first offseason with the team. And that's one of his first things he notices in their first practice together. When a veteran like that notices that, something that I can't think of the exact word.
Monumentous?
But yeah, just something that's just, that just stands out to you that early on in the process with a brand new team. It's just, to me, that's a huge red flag that goes up like, whoa, is this guy really cut out for the job?
Yeah, and one of the things that I like to talk about is Olin Krutz and Big Cat from the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
They always stated that most guys that have played and started in the NFL will know immediately if the new guy sucks.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that I think Thomas Davis knew, and he was just trying to help him the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But it just shows. And then you have a backup, Tyler...
Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah, Taylor Heinicke comes in and does really well for just being a third-string quarterback. And with
you
Haskins,
can see the team rally. Sorry to cut you off, but you can see the team rally behind him, too. Chase Young, he was mic'd up. And he was, hey, I like this guy. I went up there and I said, hey, this is your team. This is your, you know, this is your time to shine. He's like, no, it's what I do. Chase Young's like, that's my guy. I like him.
Went on Twitter. Chase Young liked a bunch of stuff about Heinicke and just continued to show support. And that just was so different. You could tell that the offensive line cared about him. You could tell that the receivers respect him, even though he's a third string.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things that stood out to me. Especially since there is a video clip of Dwayne Haskins going up to his offensive lineman, asking them, what can I do? What can I do to help you? And the offensive line don't even answer. They don't look at him. They just ignore him. And that's honestly says a lot about the team.
We've talked a lot about Dwayne Haskins, but it comes down to the difference between someone who's been handed a lot of stuff to them in their life compared to someone who's just trying to make it in the league, just trying to grind out year after year, just to make it onto a practice squad, just to make it on your 52, 53 guy on your roster, just trying to make it, just trying to cut it out for the league. There's a difference between that. A guy who wants it and a guy who's had stuff and it just doesn't have that want factor.
Yeah. And if you're ever wondering about players that you are recently drafted by teams, you can always watch the GQ videos on what rookie players spent their first million on. And you can kind of get what they're getting, you know, what their personality type is. Austin Eckler, the undrafted running back for the Chargers, he only spent $40,000 in his first 3 years, mm-hmm. and then he spent the rest of his million on realtor stuff, houses, and a car, and he invested. Yeah. The first thing Dwayne Haskins spent was like $10,000 on a vacation, $40,000 on jewelry.
Yeah, it was like a gold chain was alone $20,000 or $30,000.
Yeah, it was like over $100,000 in cars. Me. It was just one of those things that kind of stood out to me. It's like, yeah, I get it. Obviously, this isn't going to be a main thing for everybody. I mean, Odell's rocking out there with $100 million watch. So it is what it is on some of these situations. But to me, it was a red flag immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, moving on. Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari, torn ACL in practice. He is done for the season. Huge blow to the Green Bay Packers and really their playoff chances moving forward. Even if they can win today against the Chicago Bears and lock up the number one seed and a first round bye, I'll tell you what. The offensive line is going to be hurting without David Bakhtiari back there. We're talking about an all-pro level offensive tackle, and he doesn't get enough credit as he deserves because, to me, hands down, is the best left tackle in the league.
He's the best pass-blocking left tackle, and he's paid like that, and it shows. And honestly, I was talking to Matt about this the other day when the news came out that I said that's their playoff chances. Unless Elgeson Jenkins can come in there and produce minimally to average, I honestly don't know how that team's going to go forward because if anybody – any smart defensive coordinator looks at the Tampa Bay tape and they take that and they run man blitzes all on the right side.
They're going to go after him.
I don't understand how Rodgers and company can handle that.
And we've talked about that before, too. Like, the way to stop Aaron Rodgers is to put early pressure on him and not having your top-tier left tackle out there. The pressure's going to come early and often, especially if the Packers play Tampa Bay again in the playoffs.
Absolutely. All right, guys, as we wrap up here our first segment, a couple of cool fantasy notes I saw out there on social media I want to bring up to you guys. Now, there was a league out there. This really started trending. And there's a member, one of the leagues, it was an uncle apparently. And his team was good enough to make it all the way to the championship game, but unfortunately, he passed away in October. So wasn't able to manage his team, so the league manager and the league kind of came together and helped manage his team throughout the season. They made it all the way to the championship round, and his opponent, out of respect, benched his entire lineup. I thought that was a pretty cool move. A real classy move in fantasy.
A really respectful.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have done that.
You wouldn't have done that?
No, I don't won.
I'll tell you what, I am in a league, one of my family leagues here, and we did have someone unfortunately pass away throughout the season. And his team made the playoffs, lost in the first round, but still.
Yeah.
I'm in that sort of same situation. I didn't play him in the first round, but he did, unfortunately, pass away during the season.
No remorse.
Still going to start all your guys?
A win's a win.
If
Matt dies today and we play him next year, I'm winning, regardless.
In that situation, I don't blame you. All right, now another one I saw. Now, if you win your league this year, now, some of your star players, would you consider donating, if you're playing for money in some of these leagues, would you consider donating some of your winnings to that your star player's charity?
Yeah.
Would you guys consider that?
I think it's a nice thing going
around. Nice way to give back.
Yeah, it's a nice way to give back, and it's a good thing. You donate, because there's always been this animosity between players and fantasy owners, mm-hmm. because a lot of people can't separate the fact that this is a job for them. And
exactly.
We don't own them.
That's the thing. Don't go out and attack players. Oh, you had a bad game. I hate you, Travis Kelce. Like, no, come on. Don't do that.
Why are you bringing up Travis like that?
I don't know. Just some player.
No, but
Dalvin Cook, you know, whoever.
Alvin Kamara.
Josh Jacobs. Sure. Yeah. Josh Jacobs really got some fantasy owners. Look, I'll be honest with you. No one cares about your team. These players don't care about their teams. Their job is to go out there and perform for their own team, for their own players, their own brothers on the team. They don't care about your fantasy team.
Yeah.
Don't bother with it.
It's their lives. Like if they got an ankle sprain and they're deciding they're not going to play, don't go messaging them on Twitter like, oh, suck it up and get out there.
Yeah, it's one thing for me to come to you guys and say, you know, I really don't like Alvin Kamara. You know, he's really bugging me. He's not doing anything for my team right now. It's different for me going to you guys and saying that compared to going on social media, typing out a message and then sending it to him.
Yeah, it's
no one cares, man.
It's pointless, and it just makes you look like a child. But to get back to the charity thing, no, I really think it's a good idea. It's a nice way to show your appreciation for something that obviously you're still benefiting it, even though they're just doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
So, like for Travis, you know, he's been my star player this whole year.
Your go-to guy.
And I 100% I would be willing to donate to his charity if I stopped at week 16.
Right, if you won. But it's just, I think it's a cool move for some owners out there. If, you know, if you are playing for money this year, I know leagues are kind of different with the whole, you know, COVID and whatnot, pandemic going on. But just the kind of, you know, food for thought. Just consider it at least. All right, one last note. Week 17 storylines. And we got 7 playoff spots up for grabs this week. Now, this is the most spots up for grab entering week 17 over the past 30 years. We have 35 different wild card round matchups. 35 different matchups that we could see depending on what happens today on the 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, even tonight going into Sunday Night Football. You got Washington Eagles. I'll tell you what, those are two bad football teams playing, but there's a playoff spot on the line, a division title on the line for Washington, hypothetically. So it's going to be a very interesting day across the NFL.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy because every game is going to matter. You're going to want to watch every single game to see the end result.
Even the Jaguars-Colts game, there's still something on the line. The Colts are playing for a spot right now. Jaguars have the number one pick locked up. It's time to get one more win, get a season sweep for the Colts, their first win since week one. I doubt it, but we'll see.
So are you going to play Gardner Minshew then?
I hope so. I hope Mike Glenn is not out there. There's no point. You have the number one pick locked up. Put Gardner back out there. See what he can do 1 week.
I know what he can do. He can win you games and produce offense.
Yeah, that's why he didn't play last week.
Yeah, we know.
Exactly. All right, guys, that's going to wrap up our first segment. We're going to come back. We're going to get right into Fantasy Hour plus Matt's Golden Nuggets from around the league. We're going to get into all that good stuff coming up next. It's Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330.
It's Sports Fan Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Welcome back. Week 17 edition of Football Sunday. I am Eric Jordan Gilfie alongside you this week, Jake Reisinger and Matt Halpin helping you get your fantasy football lineup set for week 17 action across the NFL. Also, championship weekend in some leagues out there. It's a big weekend to wrap up the series finale. And before we get into all that good fantasy stuff, we got the injury report to get to. We got some player highlights we want to go over for the last regular season week. But before that, Matt, we got to go back to week 16 or week 17. You have some cool gold nuggets around the NFL that you go digging for just to find some interesting facts that we may not know, the average listener, the average NFL fan out there. Some interesting facts like Derrick Henry has 2 walk-off touchdowns for the first time in, what, NFL history?
Yeah, correct? Only running back.
Something that we may not know that's never really talked about. So what do you have for us this week?
All right. So Sam Mustafer, one of the bright spots on the Bears offensive line this year.
Sure.
Real surprise, really.
Mm-hmm.
So The Athletic did an interview with his dad a couple weeks ago, and he shared some little fun tidbits about his son. So when he was 5 years old, he weighed 130 pounds. Oh. Now, For reference, the average 5-year-old in the United States weighs about 40 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
So when he was 5 years old, he enrolled at baseball first. Now there's a story. When he was playing first base, he got a little too aggressive. A throw took too long to come in, so he just decided to go and tackle the runner before he could get onto base.
Why does it sound like Jake playing baseball over there?
Cousin, don't mess around, man.
Yeah, apparently neither was Sam Mustafer. Yeah.
Sam Sr. had said he immediately knew what he needed to do. He pulled him out of baseball and enrolled him in football.
Hey, I'll tell you what, and that's worked out well for his career so far. He had a nice career at Notre Dame, and now it's sort of transitioning into the NFL level, and it's performed really nicely for the Chicago Bears. All right, Matt, what do you got next?
Okay, so Alvin Kamara, the league's elite running backs, he had a very interesting stat line his first 3 years. His first 3 years, he had exactly 81 receptions.
Okay.
But unfortunately, that trend is over. He has 83 on the year, so his 81 streak is over.
You know, he could have had 100 if Taysom Hill was, you know, threw him the ball once in a while out of the backfield. But, you know, hey, that didn't happen, okay? I'm over it.
All right, well, here, I got some more Kamara news for you so you can stay over it. So, Alvin Kamara, he has 729 yards receiving after the catch, which sounds about right, seeing he always catches his passes like right out of the backfield. Now, no other running back in the NFL has more than 560 receiving yards in general, not just after the catch.
I'll tell you what, Alvin Kamara is a playmaker with the ball in his hands no matter what. If it's with a handoff, it's with a screen, it's just he's running a route like a wide receiver. Doesn't matter. You get a playmaker the ball, and that's why he's getting paid the big bucks, because he's one of the best playmakers in the league for that reason.
Very true.
Did you see that he got fined? Was it $10,000, $5,000?
$5,000 for his Christmas cleats.
Come on, NFL. It's just Christmas beer. It's Christmas Day. You're going to fine the guy $5,000? Come on.
I mean, if he knows that he can get 6 touchdowns again, so I'm pretty sure he'll eat that $5,000 fine again.
Yeah. He also matched it to his charity.
That was a cool move. I like that. All right, Matt, what do you got next?
All right, so Aaron Rodgers. We've known him as one of the league's premier elite quarterbacks for forever at this point.
Unfortunately, we've known that. Being a Chicago Bears fan and all.
Yeah,
we've known that for a while.
Now, do you guys remember that stretch from 2014 to 2018 where it felt like Rodgers was kind of fringe top 10, where he wasn't talked about as a top 3 elite quarterback?
That was a glorious few years.
No.
Well, for his average quarterback median, those were his worst years. And those years were when he was dating celebrities, when he was dating Olivia Munn and Danica Patrick.
Okay.
Now, as soon as he's single and not dating a celebrity, he's now having arguably his second best career year.
Hmm. When you have more time on your hands, guess what happens? You practice more. You go over tape more often. Constantly in the film room, constantly on the practice field. Sure enough, Aaron Rodgers is back in the MVP conversations and could very well end up being the league MVP for the 2020 season.
Yeah, he's looking to be leading in that vote right now.
Does he have your vote? Is that what you're saying?
No, because I'm a Bears fan. I will not vote for him. Okay. But I think he is leading right now.
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce?
Very deserving.
I haven't seen him up there, but he is deserving of some consideration at least. All right, man, what's up next?
All right. So Jeff Wilson, the running back for the 49ers,
mm-hmm.
he could be the fourth different running back in the past 4 years for the 49ers to lead the team in rushing. In 2017, it was Carlos Hyde. 2018, Matt Breda. 2019, Raheem Mostert. And this year, it could be 4 different running backs leading the team in rushing for the 49ers.
Now, that's impressive as a fan, and just definitely goes to show you how well that system works with Kyle Shanahan at the helm. But at the same time, that's not good for the running back position, because that shows you how easily you can be replaced with teams, especially like San Francisco. You're not going to get paid the big bucks over there.
Especially teams looking at a large running back contract like the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point. Good point.
Yeah, and just to put that in perspective, Ezekiel Elliott is tied up until 2027.
You can tell the difference between one of the best offensive lines in the NFL for a number of years you got to play behind compared to losing your quarterback and losing your center, your left tackle, all pro players. You have Zach Martin, who's been banged up all year, arguably one of the best overall offensive lineman in the entire NFL. That just goes to show you that when injuries really collapse your offensive line, kind of goes to show you what actual player you are at the NFL level.
Because Tony Pollard's producing.
Yeah, and he's a nice change of pace back.
And he hasn't been fumbling.
Yeah. Zeke Elliott's had a big problem holding out of the football this year.
All right, so we'll keep the trend going with rushing. So Lamar Jackson, he only needs 92 rushing yards this week versus the Bengals to be the first quarterback in NFL history with back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons.
Wow, that's impressive. And he had a rough beginning of his 2020 campaign. Now he's kind of pouring on late, and if you're Lamar Jackson owner out there, you're looking pretty good right now if your team's still alive in the playoffs, because guess what? He has a great matchup to end the season against Cincinnati with everything on the line. Baltimore has to play all their players because they have to win in order to have a chance to make playoffs. They have to win.
Absolutely. All right. And now Russell Okung. He's a left tackle for the
Carolina Panthers. Came over via trade in the offseason.
He is going to be receiving half of his $13 million salary this year in American Bitcoin.
Really?
He is feeling like investing, and he believes in Bitcoin.
Wow, he's, I believe, the first NFL player ever to do that?
I do not know. He might be.
That's a gutsy decision.
He is, and also his agent that represents him is Russell Okung.
He represents himself.
Yes, he's always represented himself since he's left Seattle. So this is a first in, I think, maybe the last Bitcoin yearly deal.
He was able to slither his way in there to get that deal done. All right, Jake, do you have one other note?
With a loss tomorrow, the Jacksonville Jaguars will be the first team since 2001 Carolina Panthers to finish 1-15 after winning week one.
So they've lost 14 straight. They're 1-14 on the year currently, with one more game to go against the Indianapolis Colts, who lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars back in week one. Just think about this for a second. If the Colts would have won that game, the Colts would probably be in the playoffs right now. A good chance. All they do is win, they'd be in, because they would have 11 wins. Plus, they would have a better chance because Tennessee's also trying to get in the playoffs, too.
They would have had the tiebreaker for the division lead, too, because of division wins.
So, you told me your words exactly were, oh, it's week one. It's all right. Week one loss to Jaguars isn't going to determine anything. Well, it actually might. It might actually determine a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Still pulling for the Colts, though.
That's it?
Yep, I mean, what happened.
Do you want to make a bet if the Jaguars sweep the Colts?
Oh, no, that would be a bad bet. I feel like I'd be setting the team up for failure.
So you think there's a chance the Jaguars could actually get their second win?
If they start Gardner.
And still get Trevor Lawrence. I'll tell you what, it'd be a great year to start off 2021. If sweep the Indianapolis Colts and get Trevor Lawrence in the draft, oh, hallelujah, from a Jacksonville Jaguars fan here in the studio.
I so hope you draft Mac Jones first overall.
Oh, come on. All right, we're going to get right into fantasy out here. I know we kind of spent the last 10 minutes talking about stuff around the league still. A lot of big notes in week 17 here. Only one injury note for quarterbacks and tight ends, and that's Alex Smith, a starter for the Washington football team, is questionable with a calf injury. It looks like he will be good to go, but might be limited. We'll see what happens with Alex Smith. But without further ado, let's get into our player highlights. Matt, you're going to kick us off here with your quarterback player of the week.
All right, so my first quarterback, I'm going with Kirk Cousins going up against the Detroit Lions. So okay. Kirk Cousins has been averaging 20 points a game since week 9. He has been consistent, and the last time he played Detroit, he threw 3 touchdowns. Obviously, Minnesota, they're still holding on to that little glimpse of a playoff dream. They're hoping. So the team's still going to be playing to try and go all out, especially their star players, Dalvin Cook not being in. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be relied upon Kirk throwing to Justin Jefferson and Thielen.
Yeah, the passing attack is going to have to be more relied on because you're without your star running back. Now you still have Alexander Mattison back there. Now he could contribute, obviously, in the run game as well as the passing game, but really, this Minnesota team might be a pass-first offense with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen that might be the top two receiver duo right now in the NFL. So Kirk Cousins is in store for a big day.
I think you're overlooking it because most of the game is just up-the-gut runs. And then we just see the Justin Jefferson and Thielen highlights.
But could it be because of the matchup, too? You're playing Detroit, who's bad against everything. So there could be a lot of points on the board for Minnesota offensively.
Let's hope so.
All right, my quarterback pick, I'm going with Phillip Rivers, going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who we just talked about. Ranked 30th against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy so far this season. Allowed 23 points last week to Mitchell Trubisky and company. Now, Jacksonville, they've given up 106 fantasy points in their last 5 games to the quarterback position. 106 total points. Phillip Rivers, on the other hand, has had double-digit fantasy points in 13 of his 15 games played so far this year. This is a must-win for the Colts. They have to win this game in order to be still in the playoff hunt. They're on the outside looking in right now. They have to win, and have to have a lot of things go their way. Phillip Rivers is going to have to play really to the end of the game. There's going to be a lot of points. This receiving game is starting to step up with Zach Pascal. He's still got Michael Pittman. And of course, you got T.Y. Hilton out there. I think Phillip Rivers might be in store for probably his best matchup all year long. All right, Matt, who's your second quarterback pick?
All right, so I'm going Ryan Tannehill versus Houston. So the last time Tannehill played the Texans, he threw 4 touchdowns versus them. The Houston Texans defense is still a bottom feeder defense, bottom 3 in the league. They're allowing a lot of points. They're allowing a lot of yards. The team is just in shambles right now, especially after the post-game interview that happened with J.J. Watt. It almost makes it seem like the team just doesn't believe in itself anymore. So this is a beaten Texans team that the Titans, they want to win this game so they can secure division.
Sure, absolutely. All right, Jake, what about your quarterback pick of the week?
Yeah, my quarterback pick's a little bit of a wild card mixed match. If you're really struggling out there for maybe a quarterback like me having Patrick Mahomes this week and he's sitting, Taysom Hill coming off a 12-point game, he will be looking to handle a lot of reps coming out of the backfield, even at tight end and wide receiver because of that whole running back crew is out with COVID. Mm-hmm. They have a wide receiver / special teams player playing halfback right now. Ty Montgomery, Packer fans, if you remember him very much, I don't think you'll like it. But Taysom Hill has a very high chance of getting 15 points this week. And if you're struggling like I am for quarterback, it's a good pick.
Absolutely.
And you know Sean Payton, too. He loves finding ways to use Taysom. So I'd almost want to give a guarantee that they're going to try and find him and give him a touchdown.
Keep in mind, a couple guys who are listed as out for the quarterback and tight ends. You got Big Ben Roethlisberger as well as Patrick Mahomes, who are listed as resting. They might not play on Sunday. They probably won't play on Sunday. As well as a couple of tight ends were listed as out. Hunter Henry still on the COVID list. Dallas Goedert was ruled out Friday with a calf injury. Travis Kelce as well as Rust. He will not play in Sunday's regular season finale as the Chiefs locked up the number 1 overall seed in the AFC Conference. All right, speaking of that, Matt, your tight end play of the week.
All right, so I'm going to stick to that same matchup of Vikings versus Lions. Irv Smith Jr. versus Detroit. He had 2 touchdowns versus Detroit the last time they played. And obviously, with the Vikings going to be relying on the passing game a lot, they found a matchup that they exploited last game, and they're going to try and go after that again. Because you know Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, they're going to command all the attention. The Lions are going to want to try and stop them specifically. So that'll give Irv space to work with and find a good mismatch.
Yeah, and Irv Smith Jr. has really boomed 2 out of the last 3 weeks. He's had, 2 or 3 touchdowns in that span as well?
Yeah, 3 touchdowns in the past 3 weeks.
He's lighting up the scoreboard. He could have had 3 touchdowns against the Saints a few weeks ago. I mean, he's been lighting up the scoreboard. Irv Smith Jr. might have the best tight end matchup of the week. Now, my guy, I'm going Tyler Higbee, going up against the Arizona Cardinals, ranked 5th against opposing tight ends in fantasy. You might think, wow, that's actually a tough matchup. You're playing a team that's top 5 against that position. Well, Tyler Higbee has had 1 touchdown in 2 of his last 4 games. He's playing above all those games. Above 70% snap count compared to Gerald Everett, who's just been too inconsistent as of late. He's really been inconsistent so far in his career. Tyler Higbee has reestablished himself as the go-to number 1 tight end in that offense. You have a rookie quarterback at the helm right now, Jared Goff out. You're going to look to him dump off to maybe that little safety net from a young quarterback that we see a lot of times. Arizona has given up 28 points in their last 2 games against the tight end position. They are vulnerable back there. George Kittle had a nice day in his return last week for San Francisco. And Tyler Higbee's last 3 games versus Arizona, 57 points in his last 3 games just against Arizona. He's also had a touchdown in all 3 of those games. He's had at least 80 or more receiving yards in all 3 of those games. This is a guy who can light up the scoreboard if he wants to, because he owns the Arizona Cardinals, at least as of late. And I'm kind of going back to last year. He was a big factor in Week 17 as well as Week 14 last year in the playoff runs for a lot of teams out there. He was the go-to guy for that Sean McVay offense. And hopefully he can reestablish himself again this week as you're looking for a nice little Week 17 miracle.
Funny how you had Higbee last year against me in the championship Week 16 and 17.
And it worked out well for me, but guess who has him this year?
I also had Travis Kelce, and I could have won if we didn't play Week 17.
But you're looking for a Week 17 miracle, and hopefully
Tyler
Higbee could oblige
that guy.
He better.
All right, guys, we're going to take our final timeout. We're going to come back for wide receivers and running backs. Also, some Bears game day predictions, as well as our kicker challenge, our final kicker challenge of the year. It's going to be an emotional one here in the studio. You're listening to Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330.
stayed up a little too late last night and forgot to set that lineup? We've got you covered. It's Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Welcome back. Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330. Eric Jordan Goldstein alongside me, Jake and Matt, as we wrap up our final Week 17 segment. Fantasy Football Championship Edition here around the studios. Also, if you're out there playing one-day fantasy leagues, we might help you out with some nice little waiver wire picture. Some cheap guy you might find out there. You can help fill your one-day fantasy lineups. We're going to kick things off with the running backs and receivers. The injury report, the dreaded injury report. And it's a big list for running backs. Guys who are already ruled out for today's action: Damien Harris from the Patriots ankle injury. Alvin Kamara is on the COVID list, as well as the entire Saints backfield pretty much. Miles Sanders, knee injury. He will not play in Sunday's contest versus the Washington football team. Dalvin Cook's out with a... unfortunately, his father passed away. He will not make the trip with the Minnesota Vikings. James Robinson's out with an ankle injury. 815 Proud. His 2020 campaign has officially come to an end. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, ankle injury. Chris McCaffrey and Mike Davis, both out with an ankle injury. Darrell Henderson placed on the injury reserve with an ankle injury. Boy, ankle. And finally, Raheem Mostert on the injury reserve with, guess what? You named it. Ankle injury.
That seems to be the injury trend of this year for all position groups.
It's funny because it's ankles for running backs and it's hamstring for receivers. We'll get to that in a little bit. A couple guys were listed as questionable for running backs. Antonio Gibson still dealing with that turf toe injury, which is very hard to come back from. He did play last week, but was limited. Cam Akers with the ankle injury. Chase Edmonds with hip injury, but he's expected to play, it looks like, from what we looked at. Gus Edwards dealing with a back injury. Duke Johnson with a neck injury, did not play last week, as well as Le'Veon Bell did not practice earlier this week, dealing with a knee injury. Long list for just running backs. We have receivers coming up in just a little bit, but Matt, I'm going to start us off here. Who is your player highlight for running back week 17?
All right, so Jeff Wilson going up against the Seattle Seahawks this week. He had a huge game last week, 200-plus scrimmage yards and a touchdown. And going into the waivers this week, he was barely owned in 50% of leagues, but I think it's a safe bet that he was the top waiver grab this week, and he's still only owned in 70% of leagues. So if you're looking for a good flex play going up against Seattle defense that is still middling weak, Jeff Wilson, he's a flex option.
I'll tell you what, Jeff Wilson, when he's played, he's been that guy in the backfield, he's shown flashes of really potentially can be that starting guy in San Francisco. He had 22 carries a week ago. He's had 20 or more points in two of his last three games. I mean, this is a guy who can take over the backfield by storm. And with that San Francisco line, Jeff Wilson's a really, really nice play this week.
Yeah, and when we look at what Raheem Mostert did last year, it makes sense. You find the San Francisco running back that's the hot hand.
Right, unfortunately, Tevin Coleman's been really the outside looking in that backfield. He's still healthy, but I don't think he's going to factor much into that rushing attack. Jake, what about you? Who's your running back pick of the week? I believe you told me Alexander Mattison is a great matchup against the Lions.
I did tell you that. Alexander, obviously, unfortunately for Dalvin Cook, not playing. Mm-hmm. Alexander Mattison does have a very good matchup against
the Lions, who are, by the way, dead last against the running back position in fantasy this year. They are terrible against the run, and they're terrible against running backs in fantasy in particular. They're just terrible all around defensively. In the secondary, they can't stop receivers as well. They can't do much on the defensive side.
Yeah, and Alexander Mattison, even though we had limited playing against the first Detroit game, mm-hmm. he averaged 5.8 yards a carry, hit 70 yards on the ground with only 12 rushing attempts. So now he's going to have the full load since Dalvin Cook's not going to be mm-hmm. there. I think another productive game. Honestly, you could look at 150 yards probably.
And this is a guy where we have seen him be a legit number one, number two running back when healthy and when he's had the lead back. Dalvin Cook missed two games earlier in the year, and he really took over. He was, quote, the guy. I know he had a rough game against Atlanta, but they were down early on. But there's another game where he started where he performed really well in fantasy. So this is a guy who's capable of being that running back number one and that running back number one territory. Now I'm going to go with the undrafted rookie here. I'm going Ty Johnson going up against the Patriots, ranked 21st against opposing running backs in fantasy so far this year. Now let's look back a few weeks ago when Ty Johnson had legitimate starting reps when Frank Gore went down with a concussion against the Chargers a few weeks ago. Ty Johnson was the guy for that Jets backfield. He had 22 carries, 104 yards on the ground, as well as a touchdown. Also had two or three receptions in that game. He had six receptions 2 weeks ago. This is a guy who can do it all in that backfield. And with Frank Gore out for today, with LaMichael Pirine on the COVID list, Ty Johnson's the starter. He's that guy. He's the workhorse in that backfield with Adam Gase's last game as the Jets head coach. Now, New England, recently, they've given up 30 points to the running back position against Miami, 18 against Buffalo, 21 against Rams. If you add all that up, that's 69 total points in their last three games against opposing running backs in fantasy. New England's vulnerable back there. They can give up fantasy points to the running back position, and they've shown that as of late. And let's be honest, I know you're playing the Jets in meaningless Week 16 game. The Patriots, they can't afford to lose this game. They're going to try, but their defense is still not that good. This is not a good defense. This is not a good offense. Ty Johnson should get many, many opportunities today. All right, Matt, who's your second running back?
All right, so Malcolm Brown going up against Arizona. Darrell Henderson, he's obviously out. Cam Akers, he's still listed as questionable, even though he's expected to play. Since they believe him to be that future guy, if he looks like he's not right and he's not running well, then they're going to give the full workload to Malcolm Brown. He's a guy that Sean McVay trusts. He's out there for a majority of the snaps, especially in pass protection. They trust him. Mm-hmm. Volume on snaps leads to production, and Malcolm Brown out there, they trust him. I'd see him at least get a touchdown.
Yeah, and Sean McVay, he did tell us that don't bet against Cam Akers not playing. But at the same time, Sean McVay's been known to lie when it comes to NFL reporters. I mean, he did tell us that Todd Gurley's knee was fine. Look where that landed.
So, he doesn't like to show his full hand.
Yeah, and he's learned that from someone out there. Mr. Bill Belichick, of course, one of the great ones. Interesting note there for, of course, Malcolm Brown, who has all the clear signs as him being that feature back in that Rams backfield, which we've seen great fantasy production out of Sean McVay's backfield in his 10 years so far with the Rams. All right, moving over to receivers. A couple guys who are listed as out for today's action. Tyreek Hill with a hamstring injury. Julio Jones, hamstring. Keenan Allen, guess what? Hamstring. Brandon Ayuk dealing with an ankle injury. Cole Beasley, knee injury. And Cooper Kupp has been placed on the COVID list. He will not play in Sunday's action against the Arizona Cardinals. Now, two guys were listed as questionable. Terry McLaurin with the ankle injury. But looks like he is going to try and go Sunday night against the Eagles. Again, must win for the Washington football team. As well as Devontae Parker, who's been dealing with a nagging, really hamstring injury that has dealt with him for most of the season so far. All right, Matt, who's your wide receiver pick of the week?
All right, so this is a guy that was drafted in the fifth or sixth round and went in the year with high hopes. He had a real horrible start, but has really picked it up the past 6 weeks. Hollywood Brown for the Ravens. Now, okay, like we were talking about earlier, this is an absolute must-win game for the Ravens. They have to win this if they want to get in playoffs. Hollywood Brown, he has gotten a minimum of 12 points since week 12. Minimum. He's been consistent. Sure. And the last time he played Cincinnati in week 5, he got 19 points, including 70 yards and a touchdown. That is a player that you can slot in there and expect decent numbers at the very least. At least 12, 13, 14 points out of him.
Yeah, remember, this is a must-win for the Ravens and Marquise Brown and Lamar Jackson and that passing attack. And he's really come on strong as of late. He's had a nice stretch of games, and he's the guy where, honestly, you probably have the most confidence as you've ever had with him going into this year right now in Week 17, because this is a must-win for the Ravens. You're playing a terrible team like the Cincinnati Bengals. You have to go in there. You have to win this game. Marquise Brown has reestablished himself as the number one guy in that passing attack.
And you really look, too, like last week, Brandon Cooks, another speedy receiver, torched them. Sure. So the Bengals, as of late, are struggling against speedy receivers, and that's what Hollywood is. He knows speed.
There were so many times last week, I went over and watched some of the highlights, where Brandon Cooks was just wide open in the corner of the end zone. So many times, and we could see that happen with Marquise Brown, because Marquise Brown is a pretty fast guy. All right, my wide receiver pick of the week, speaking of the Texans last week where the Bengals played him, I'm going Kiki Kuti, going up against the Tennessee Titans, ranked 30th against opposing wide receivers in fantasy so far this year. Kuti's had 2 touchdowns in his last 3 weeks. He's had 9 or more points in each of his games since taking over as a starting wide receiver, really since Will Fuller went down with that suspension. The Titans, over their last 5 games, not only have they given up 9 touchdowns to wide receivers, they've also given up a total of 195 fantasy points in their last 5 games to receivers. 195 points. 111 of them are against number 1 wide receivers. Also, 93 points given up to number 2 and number 3 receivers in that span. Now, this is a team where they've given up more points to number 1 receiver, and Kiki Kuti is technically the number 2 guy, but still, 93 points to number 2 and number 3 receivers in an offense. Tennessee gives up points in general. They're ranked 30th. They're bottom 3 against that position group. They are terrible. They get torched by every team imaginable, except for the Chicago Bears, of course. But this is a great matchup for Kiki Kuti and that Houston Texans offense, where we'll see what Deshaun Watson can do in company. All right, Matt, who's your second receiver pick of the week?
All right, so I got DeMarcus Robinson going in for Kansas City. So Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, they're not playing. Demarcus Robinson has been the third wide receiver out this year. He has been third on the depth chart all year. Mm-hmm. He has been a guy they like to keep out there because he can block. He's arguably the team's best blocking receiver. Now, that gets you snaps on the field, just like with Malcolm Brown and pass protection. So you may think, oh, well, Kansas City's going to throw it to Mecole Hardman, or they're going to throw it to Byron Pringle, who had some decent games. Mm-hmm. They don't have Mahomes out there who's got that deep arm right now. They got Chad Henne. So Demarcus Robinson, who's probably, I'd say he has the best hands out of that receiving core right now, he would be the guy that they throw the most targets to.
Yeah, and he deserves opportunities to really kind of go off, because this is a guy who's trying to look to get a new contract too, you know, and you might not be able to re-sign with a team like Kansas City, who already has playmakers all over the field and really tight on money right now. Demarcus Robinson is just a little more motivation because he's trying to look for a new contract right now.
It's his time to show his stuff.
Exactly. All right, guys, as we wrap up our fantasy part here of Week 17 edition, we have to get into our kicker challenge. This is the last week of our kicker challenge for throughout the year. Now, crazy enough, after a crazy last week finish where Matt, where Jake ended up winning, right?
Yep.
Who was your kicker last week, Jake?
Cairo Santos.
Cairo Santos, representing for the Chicago Bears. And with that win, that moves you into a tie position for first place, correct, Matt?
All of us are tied with 5 wins right now, so this is a winner-take-all week.
How about that? Crazy as it seems, Week 17 is sets up for a winner-take-all, because early in the year, Matt, you and I tied a week, and since we decided we couldn't come up with a legitimate tiebreaker, we said, yeah, let's just call it a wash. You know, why not? And now a few weeks later, Week 17, it's a 3-way tie, winner-take-all game this week.
It's good. I bet it's going to be down the nail, too. Like, the final scores for our kickers are going to be 10, 11, and 12 points.
And I hope I win.
It might not seem like anything special, but it's just kind of, you know, bragging rights here in the studio. As whoever wins might be nicknamed, quote, the kicker guru. We'll see what happens. All right, Matt, who is your kicker of the week?
I'm going to go Graham Gano going up against Dallas. He got 20 points last time versus the Cowboys.
I picked him for that.
Yeah, you picked him for that week. So I'm hoping for another big game against the Cowboys.
I am going to go with old trusty Harrison Buckner, who has not been Mr. Trusty this year in fantasy, at least. But you're still on the Kansas City Chiefs, and without Patrick Mahomes, I think Chad Henne can still move the ball down the field with Andy Reid calling the plays. I think there's going to be plenty of opportunities today against the Chargers. I'm going Harrison Buckner. What about you, Jake?
Kymie Fairbairn of the Texans looking to destroy whoever they're playing.
The Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, so I want to see Kymie go out there and actually do something.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there could be a lot of points in the store because Tennessee, they don't have a playoff position locked up right now. They have to win. The Texans at this point, they're just playing for pride. The Dolphins already have one of their top 5 picks locked up. They're just playing for pride right now.
I mean, you got to go out there and do something for JJ. My man looks like he's about to cry every time he gets in front of a camera.
What about Romeo Crennel? If they really believe in him, they got to go out there and get one win for old man Crennel.
No, Romeo Crennel is gone. I don't think JJ's buying into that no more.
Don't even think he'll be on the team next year.
I think he'll be in a retirement home.
Ooh. All right, guys. Bears and Packers, Week 17, right here on Sports Fan Radio 1330 with Jeff Joniak on the call. What do we think of this Bears-Packers? Is there a big storyline you're looking at? What are you guys watching for in this big historic rivalry matchup?
Excuse me for being slight petty right now. Packer fans, stop acting like you're the victim in this situation just because you lost Bakhtiari. Most of our team is hurt. We lost Akeem Hicks last year. You didn't see us doing that. You guys are still the best team. You have the best receiver. You have an MVP candidate. You are the leading team in the NFC. You are not the underdogs. Quit it.
I will say, Packers defense has stepped up recently. Darnell Savage has looked really, really good recently.
Preston Smith actually got a sack.
Oh, wow. He actually did something for once. Interesting.
Yeah, he showed himself.
Jerry Alexander is, what, the number one cover corner right now in the NFL?
Yeah, and I will
true give... True number one guy.
True number one guy, Jerry Alexander, coming out of Louisville. He's phenomenal. And honestly, I'm really upset that they got him because I always loved him coming out. He's got great work ethic, great guy, loves the game of football, and he's really good.
Unfortunately, he's going to be all over Allen Robinson all game long, which means this is a must-step-up situation for Darnell Mooney as well as Anthony Miller. Believe it or not, Anthony Miller has to show up today.
And these are those division games where in the past he has showed up, so this is a game where he will need to step it up. But Allen Robinson, he did get over 70 yards and 2 touchdowns the last time the Bears and Packers played, so... There's hope for...
Fours.
Yes, there's hope that Jair will not lock down Allen Robinson.
I'll tell you what, though. Jair probably knows that stat line. And if you want to be considered a legit number one guy in the league, guess what? You got to lock down your number one guy every single week. And I'm sure Robinson got the best of him a few weeks ago. I think Jair's, that's still rattling his brain a little bit. And there's just extra motivation for the young cornerback. Guys, let's get some game day predictions here. Do we think the Bears can ultimately, who control their own playoff destiny, they have to, if they win today, they get in the playoffs. If they lose and the Cardinals win, they'll probably be on the outside looking in. So it's going to be, they control their own destiny right now. Can the Bears get in the playoffs? What are some of your game day predictions?
I'm going to go 33-31 Bears. Ooh, speaking as a Bears fan, the Bears keep their streak up of scoring more than 30 points. The Packers put up 41 on us last time, so they're still going to score points, but I'm hoping and praying Bears get a win this week.
45-10 because I hate the Packers.
45-10 Bears? Okay, yeah. So we got two Bears. Okay, I hate to be the Debbie Downer here, but I think the Packers are still the better team. They have the number one seed in their sights right now. They have to win in order to lock up the number one seed and first-round play. Something that Aaron Rodgers has never had in his career, home field advantage throughout the playoffs. He's never had that. He's looking for that today with a chance in Chicago. I think Packers are going to win a nail-biter, 28-24. It's going to go down to the wire. But unfortunately, I think the Bears are going to come up short. I just don't think they're on par of the team like the Green Bay Packers, even without their all-pro left tackle there. I just don't think they're, I don't think talent-wise they're on par with the Green Bay Packers right now.
Bear down. Go Bears.
I want to be on your side. It's just realistically, I think the Packers are just the better team, and I think they're going to come away with a victory.
Look, man.
It's hard to go against an all-pro quarterback. It's hard to go against MVP candidate and Aaron Rodgers. It is.
That's what I'm doing today. It's been a wild ride for Bears fans. We got this far. We got a hope. That's all we have right now.
I'll tell you what.
Hope coming from the Jaguars fan, because you guys are probably going to end up with Urban Meyer and Justin Fields.
We'll see. All right, guys, that wraps up Week 17 Fantasy Edition here on Football Sunday. Bears and Packers coming at you here in just a few hours. We'll be back next week to recap the Bears game. We'll see what happens with the playoffs as everything kind of shuffles out across the NFL, as well as some fun off-season topic of conversations that we will catch you up on. All that good stuff coming up next week. Football Sunday for Matt, Jake, myself, Air Jordan Gothy. You're listening to Football Sunday Sports Fan Radio 1330.